Okay, the boys side. Today's daf is daf Yud Tes. We're holding the top line on Yud Tes Amud Aleph. As you will recall, we have been going through several memories of Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar. How did we get into this Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar? So back on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, as you all recall, the Gemara asked, what means Diyumdin? Amud Rabbi Yirmiya ben Elazar, Diyoy Amudin. Since we had one memra of Rabbi Yirmi ben Elazar, the Gemara then had a mnemonic, a simon, on several different halachas that Rabbi Yirmi ben Elazar said, and now we're going on to the next one. Top of Yud Tes Amud Aleph, top line, the Omer Rabbi Yirmi ben Elazar. Boyuri A. Shloike midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas bas vadam. Let's look at the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol and a regular melech. Midas bas v'dam is chayiv odam harigal malchus. If chas v'sholem, a melech bas v'dam condemned someone nebuch to execution, matin lechakei b'toich piv, or cheke b'toich piv. What's a cheke? Rashi says an eitz, shepoiseach piv, shlo yochel ledaber. We put something in his mouth so that he cannot enunciate any words, that he cannot speak. So he shouldn't say a bad word about the king. After all, the person is going to be executed in a few minutes anyway, so he figures this is the best time to exercise his freedom of expression, and he's going to go and shout. He's going to go and curse the king. So he puts something in his mouth to prevent that. If, on the other hand, someone did a major aveira, so that Nebuch, he is mechuyev misa, shoysik. He wouldn't even think of chas v'sholem cursing a kodesh baruch hu, but rather he's going to be quiet. Shneimer like says in the pasuk, lecha dumia sehila. The word dumia is like vayidoyim aharon, which means that he's going to be quiet. And the Gemara says now he's going to be quiet. He's going to compliment a kodesh baruch hu and say that Hashem Yisborach is the Dayan HaEmes, that what he has said and what he has done is correct. Shenema l'chod demiya sehila. Sehila means praise. V'loy oid, el shadoim alay ki'ilu makriv karbon. That's the end of the same pasuk. L'chod demiya sehila, elikim b'tzion, u'l'chod yishulam nader. What the pasuk is telling us is that the person will even bring a karbon to Hashem to acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. Shenema ulecho yishulam nader. Hayin liyam Reb Shimon Levi, and similarly we have a drash of Reb Shimon Levi. Ma'ach Sivit says in the pasuk, Oyvrin ne'emek abocha mayon yishisuhu gam brachos yate moire. What does this pasuk mean? Says the Gemara, Oyvrei eilu b'nei adam sh'oyvrin al yisayin shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are people that unfortunately violated what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to do and not to do. That's the Oyvrei, the Oyvrim, they are the violators. Unfortunately, these people are going to go into a deep Gehenim, Rachman al-Islam. Habacha, Sheboichen Moiridin Demois. They nebuch, at the time of passing, are nebuch crying and weeping. Kimayon Shel Shitin, like the Mayan of Shitin. Shitin here, says Rashi, is referring to the Shitin on the Mizbeach, where there were daily Nisach Hayayins, and during Sukkot, the Nisach Hamayim. The Mayan, says Rashi, indicates that this is happening on a daily basis, because every day they were pouring the Niske Hayayin into those Shittim. So Nebuch, this person is going to be crying and crying like the flowing wines into the Shittim of the Mizbeach. Gam Baruchas Yata Moira, that same individual that unfortunately was the Ovrei Ritzoinai, he violated Hashem's Halacha, Hashem's Torah. And that person is Nebuch Be'emek. He is Nebuch in Mamik and Hem Gehenim. But nevertheless, Barachos Yata Moira, Matstikin Aleim Esadin B'Yom Lefonav. Reboine Shalom, Yafa Danta, Yafa Zachisa, Yafa Chiyavta, Yafa Tikanta Gehenim L'Rishoyim Ganeidin L'Tzadikim. What you've done is absolutely correct. He's Matstik Olav Esadin. So now, we started off the Gemara. Rabbi Yirmi ben Elazar said, Re'ei Shaloi Kemidas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Midas Bosu V'dam. So normally, when you see a Gemara like that, the Gemara would continue on and extol the virtues of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, either his godless in this area, that area, godless in tzedakah, godless in chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a goyim al chesed, he's a rachman, he's a rachum v'chanun. That's what you would normally find. Here our Gemara doesn't say anything about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It rather says about the bad guys that they are all going to be Meshaveach Hashem, as opposed to Chas V'Sholem being Mekalel, like you have the Midas Bas V'Dam. So the question is, what does that show you about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it says, Loi Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu K'Midas Bas V'Dam? Is the Chori, what the Gemara means to say is that the Midas Bas V'Dam, the kings, or for that matter, the judges, they can err, either intentionally or negligently, or just because they happen to be mortal. And all Bas V'Dams, we all, to err is only natural, it's only human. Human. However, if you're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is absolutely correct. Yofa Danta, Yofa Zachisa, that's why one says that Alevai, the Tzidik Adin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you've done is absolutely just. Hashem dispenses just justice. And therefore, that's what the Gemara is now focusing on, that a person who violated Hashem's wishes, he's not going to go and start cursing, but quite to the contrary, he will acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right and that he was wrong, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzadik Hashem b'chol derachav, whatever Hashem does is just and correct. Frank Dimar Eini, I have a kasha. Mo'amar b'shem ben Lakish, Rishoyim afil al pischoy shel gehenem einim chozim b'tshuva. You just got finished saying that the Rishoyim, when they go down to the Eimek HaBacha, they go down to Gehenim, they are crying, and at the same time they're saying, Ash Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're emes, emes, emes. Here I have Rish Lakish saying, the Rishoyim go down to Gehenim, they, even at the Pischoy shel Gehenim, ein chozim b'tshuva, they are still defiant. They are not willing to bend. They are still Rishoyim. Shenema, the Yotze V'ro'ob, the Figre Anoshim HaPoishim Bi. Go and you'll see the Pigre, you'll see the carcasses of those people that violated my law. They went against the Torah. Now, the Gemara is Medayik. Poishim is a Lashon Hove. Hove means it's present. Says the Gemara, L'choyer Shepashu Loi Nemar. It should have said in the Pasuk, V'yotzu V'ro B'figur Anoshim Shepashu Bi. Shepashu means in the Ovar, in the past. That they did a chait, and now Nebuch, their dead bodies are lying there. Why didn't they pashu? Elha poishim. Shepoishim holchem oilim. It comes to tell you that even when they're dead, when they are approaching Gehenim, they go straight in, and they don't do tshuva even at that point. What are you talking about? A moment ago we said that the people that go down to Gehenim, they're crying and weeping, like the pourings, the libations on the Mizbeach. And then Matztik Aleim Esadin. And he is telling me that these are bad guys through and through, even in Gehenim. So to my gosh, it depends. If you're talking about Jewish violators of the law, they will be Matztik Esadin. They will go and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. But unfortunately, if you're talking about the Oivdei Kechavim, these idolaters who worship Avodah Zarah, etc., these terrible poshim, they are incorrigible. And that even when they are going into Gehenim, they remain with their defiance, and they remain poshim bi. Says Yimor HaChanan Mestavra. And this is not just a remote teretz, this is the real McCoy, the Imkain. Because if you're not going to say this teretz, Kasher b'Rish Lakish b'Rish Lakish, we're going to have a steer Rish Lakish b'Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish just got finished saying, this was a member of Rish Lakish, that the Rishoyim afilu b'pitzchay shel Gehenim einam choizrim b'tshuva, they remain defiant. But the other Rish Lakish says, Yom Rish Lakish poishi Yisrael, ein ur Gehenim sheletus behen, the fire of Gehenim doesn't even have any command, any shlita over them. Kal v'chaymim be'yachazov, I'll bring you right from the Mizbeach. A very famous Gemara, you have the same Gemara at the very end, a Masechtas Chagiga. Ma Mizbeach Hazov, she'ein olav ela ko'ivi dinner zohav, the Mizbeach Hazov, which was used every single day of the year to be makdir v'ktores, and wherever the Mizbeach Hazov was really made out of atzei shittim. It only had a gold plate covering, and that's why it's called the Mizbeach HaZov. So ibazoi, the Mizbeach HaZov, she'en olav ele ko'ivi dinner zov. The entire thickness of that plating was like the thickness of a coin called a dinner. Omad kam ha'shonav le'shol t'bayor. Look how many years it was able to withstand the heat on a daily basis. Poshi yisosha malei mitzis karimoi. Even a posheya, a criminal, a violator among Klal Yisrael, is full of mitzvahs like a pomegranate. You all know you open up a pomegranate and you have there so many seeds. Common folklore is that there's 613 seeds, but I've never come yet across a person who's counted out all 613. But regardless, it has many, 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 I say seeds, those little pomegranate things inside a pomegranate. Shenemar, how do I know the Poshi Yisrael are full of mitzvahs? Karim and Shenemar, it's in the Pasuk, Kefelach harimain rakoseich. Now, Poshi Pshat, rakoseich is referring to a person's temples. Temples where we have the payas. And of course, this is a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and therefore, as we know, Shir HaShirim, which is Kodesh Kadoshim, is nevertheless written in a song, almost like a love song. So it's saying that your temples are like beautiful rimoinim, like beautiful pomegranates. Don't go and say temples. Reikosech means those that are empty. Even nebuch empty Jews that do not follow the Torah and mitzvahs on a regular daily basis. Nevertheless, my mitzvahs karimoin. They're still full of mitzvahs. Go to every single hospital and you'll see the pavilions. A Guggenheim and a Klingenstein and a Datstein and a Rosenstein and a Greenberg and a Rosenberg and all that. Just look at the signs when you come into the major hallways of the hospitals or universities or places of culture, right? You'll see names, all Jewish names. Not all, but a very, very large percentage Jewish names, only a small percentage of Gentiles. Anyway, so Jews are very, very great, great Bali Chesed, very benevolent, very charitable. As Allah's Kam the Kamas, certainly just like the Zohav on top of the Mizbeach HaZov was able to withstand the daily heat from the Haktoras Haktoras, so Yidin that are Malay Mitzis Karimah, they will certainly be able to withstand the heat of the Gehenna Malach's Kam the Kam. So now, I have a stira. Rish Lakish said a moment ago that the poshim that go into Gehenna, they continue to be posheya even in Gehenna. These people are terrible, defiant. And here he's saying that every Yid that goes Chas Hashem to Gehenna, he still has enough schusim to be able to withstand Gehenna. That doesn't sound like we're talking about the same posheya. And in fact, it's not. When you're talking about a posheya Yisrael, and when you're talking about a posheya Akum. The posheya Akum doesn't do tshuva even when he reaches the Gehenna. The posheya Yisrael has molei mitzvahs karima. Right, Timura. Elohad dechsiv. We said at the outset, the pasuk at the top of the Amud, what did we say in the pasuk? Lahad echsev oivre be'emek habacha, and we said, what does oivre be'emek habacha mean? This is about 10 lines into the Amud. We said oivre be'emek habacha means the oivre ritzoinai, emek habacha that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is mamik lehem gehenim. He makes a deep gehenim for them. What do you make a deep gehenim for? The poshe Yisrael. These poshe Yisrael are molei mitzvahs karimayin, they presumably will get in and out very quickly, or the or shel gehenim won't be sholeit, possibly they will be sent to the side door and said, okay, you're dismissed, you did enough, just walking into gehenim, just get out. But that's not what's mashma over here. They're mamik the gehenim. What that means is that for at least a short hour, meaning a very short period of time, they go into Gehenna. But as soon as they enter, V'asi Avram Avinu, U'masik lehu, U'mekabel lehu. Avram Avinu comes in quickly and he goes and pulls him out of the Gehenna. The only exception where Avram Avinu won't go and pull out a person from Gehenna is Barmi Yisro Shabal Bas Agvei Chavim, Temashcha Arlasoi V'leim Nefshakerlei. So what the Gemara is telling us is, that Avraham Avinu, once he sees that a Yid goes into the Gehenim with a Bris Milah, he says, is one of us, as Unzer mentioned, he's a Yid that has a Bris, we're going to schlep him out of the Gehenim. The only person that Avraham Avinu doesn't schlep out is Nabuch, a Yisrael, Shabo Albas Oyvi Kechom, that's living with a Goyta. And the Goyta sees that he's Jewish, and she resents the fact that he's Jewish. So she wants to convert him back to idolatry. How does she convert him? She's Moshcha Arlosai. She pulls on his Arla, on his Eiver, to try to go and remove the effects of the Bris. And as a result, if she's successful in covering up his Mokamila with the Arla, says Rashi, then when Avraham Avinu sees that person in Gehenna, he doesn't recognize that he's Jewish, because he looks Nebuch like a Goy. He doesn't have a Bris. The Bris has been undone by her being Moishech Be'arla. So you see the Rashi about 15 lines from the top of the Amud. Rashi starts the line, V'loy Mifshaker, Einenu Makiroi. The Avraham Avinu doesn't even recognize you, Yehudi. The Moshcha Arla Asai, she pulled down his Arla over his Mokam Mila, the Doi Malai, and Avraham Avinu looks at it and looks like Kamisha Ein Nimot, as if he never had a Bris. And therefore Avraham Avinu says, okay, you can stay there, you're not one of us. And therefore, yes, Steve.
Someone's not on mute and is making a lot of background noise. Jesse Sutton, I see.
Okay, we'll mute all again.
A lot of noise coming. Could you mute him?
Okay, he already muted himself. Thank you, Jesse, sorry. Thank you, Steve, for pointing it out. So, anyway, bottom line is that that's what the Gemara is telling us, that although it says, Oivrei be'emek abacha, that these Oivrim go into deep Gehenna, it's taka true, they go into deep Gehenna. But after a minute, Avraham Avinu arrives on the scene, and he pulled him out. Except Chas v'Shalom, someone who's Nebuch married to an idolatress that tries to remove his bris, or to cover up the bris. Ask Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is now asking Akasha on Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish was the one that said that the Rishoyim among the Akum, afilo apischa shel Gehenem, einam choizim b'tshuva, because it said in the Pasek, ha poshim bi, and not she poshu bi. Poshim is a lotion of Hove, Poshu is a lotion of Ova. Maskud of Kahana, actually the Ambas have Poshim, the Pashi, the Ozli. The Poshim means they continue to be Poshaya, even in Gehenim. And when we add to the Chassidus says in the Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about himself in the Heilige Torah, HaMoiti Eschem Mi'eretz Mitzrayim, or Hamala Eschem Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. The both of these statements are being said post HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us out of Mitzrayim. Yet the word Motzi and Male are Hove. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still taking us out. He's still lifting us up from Mitzrayim. Freit Yimara, Temasik Udemapeku. Is Hashem still taking us out of Mitzrayim? It's already a few thousand years later. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not being Motzi us now. But rather, what the Pasuk is telling us is that the Asik the Apik, even though it uses the expression Hamoitzi v'amal, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the past took us out of Mitzrayim. So Achanami, when it says Poishimbi, doesn't necessarily mean they continue to be Poishaya. It could be Tepashihu, that they were Poishaya in the past. And therefore, the Gemara says that the Raya of Reish Lakish is not an ironclad Raya. It's a nice drasha. But in terms of being solid, that you cannot ask a pircha on the drasha, no, one can ask a pircha from Hamoitzi v'Hamal. Now, since we're talking about our favorite subject, Gehenim, so therefore the Gemara tells us further about Gehenim, and we're quoting once again the Omer of Yirmiyah ben Elazar. You'll recall we started today's daf with Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, and you'll recall that we started this whole sugya of Agadata yesterday with Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. We had that simon, the mnemonic of all of the members of Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar. So this is yet another one in that series of members. But Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Shlo Yishib Sochem, Yishli Yeshli Gehenim. Gehenim has three openings on this world. Where are those three openings? Echa b'midbar, one in the desert, v'echa b'yam, one in the yam, in the ocean, v'echa b'yushalayim, one in Yushalayim. B'midbar d'chsiv, v'yer duheim b'chol ha'shelehem chayim she'oyla. She'oyla is one of the names of Gehenna, and it says that they all went down. Who are they? Who's the they? This is referring to Adas Koyrach. So, but where was the Adas Koyrach? Adas Koyrach wasn't here in Manhattan. They were in the Midbar. Oh, so v'yer duheim b'chol ha'shelehem, they all went down in Gehenna. It was local. They didn't have to go on an international trip to Antarctica. The she'oil was local there in the Midbar. How do I know? Bayom d'chsiv is in the pasuk. This is a pasuk in Yonah, where Yonah is saying, "Mibetet she'oil shivati shemata koili." Yonah is screaming out on the yam, and he's saying to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, from the beten of she'oil, from the stomach, so to speak, of she'oil, of Gehenim, Shivati, I cried out, and Shemata Koili, you listened to my voice. So where did Yoina cry out? He cried out on the Yam, and he's saying, Mibetin She'oil. So you see that one of the three doorways, three openings, the Gehenim is in the Yam. Birushalayim d'chsiv, Yom Hashem asher ur loy b'tzion, v'tana loy birushalayim. What does that mean, ur b'tzion and tana Yushalayim, v'tana d'vei Rav Yishmol, asher ur loy b'tzion zo, Gehenim. The Ur, meaning here the fire. By the way, there's a difference between the word Oyer and Ur. Oyer means light, Ur means fire. So therefore, here too, when it says Ur Lebetzin, it means the fire of Gehenna. The Taner Lebishalayim Zu Pischa Shel Gehenna. The Taner is just the doorway, the entranceway to the Ur, to the big fire called Gehenna. So we see that Gehenna finds itself in terms of the doorway, the opening, is in those three places, the Midbar, the Yam, and Yushalayim. Freidmor v'suleka, is there no other opening anywhere else? V'omre merian o'm b'shum lady yamri la tanit rabba bar merian b'debeit Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. This is a gemara in Mesechtes Sukkah. But the gemara tells us, shtei tamoris yesh b'gei ben hinoim. Gei ben hinoim is the name of a place. Parshat Pshat means the valley of ben hinoim. Shtei tamoris means two dekel trees. In other words, two palm trees from which you can take off lulavim. These two dekel trees in Gei Ben Hinoim, Ba'ila Oshem Ibeneim, there is smoke constantly being emitted between these two trees. V'zui Shishanino Tzine HaRabarzel Ksheirais. The lulavim from those trees are called Tzine HaRabarzel, and they are kosher. V'zui Pitzcha Shul Gehenim. That's why you see the Oshem being Olam Ibeneim, because every once in a while they open the door for new entrants, new contestants, and every time they open the door, some of the smoke, some of the steam comes out. Anyway, that's Pitzcha Shel Gehenim. So I see that there's a fourth Pesach Shel Gehenim. Every more de Mahani Yerushalayim. This is usually shver, because maybe when the reference here is to Gei Ben Hinoim, we really mean one of the sections or suburbs of Yerushalayim. And even today, if you go to the Ir Atika and you go with a tour guide, they will show you signs of sections there in the Arab part of the Ir Atika, where it's called Gei Ben Hinoim. So Gei Ben Hinoim, in fact, is a section, a neighborhood in Yerushalayim. Omri B'shu Ben Levi, Zayin Shemiz Yesh L'Ganem. Ganem has seven names altogether. The Elohim, what are the seven? She'oil, Vavadoin, Be'eshachas, Bor She'oin, Titayovein, Tzalmoves, Be'eretz HaTachtis. Where do we find these seven names? She'oil D'chsiv, Mibetet She'oil Shivati Shemata Koili. That's the pasuk that we brought before, the pasuk of Yoina, Betin She'oil. Avadoin d'chsiv, ayisupa bakeve chazdecho, emunoscha bo avadoin. Will anybody be able to go and talk about your chesed once he has passed on? Will we be able to talk about the emuna when they are chas sholem in avadoin? This is similar to the pasuk that we say in Hallel. Loi hamesim yihaluka, v'loi kol yoredei duma. When we're still around on this world, when we're alive, then we're able to go and be mahalel the Rabbeinu Shlomo. But lo yamneisim, a person never who's already dead, he can't stand up by halel. Lo yamneisim yehaluka. But lo kol yordi duma, not those that have gone down to duma. Duma, the Gemara tells us elsewhere, was the malach, is the malach up in Shemayim that is in charge of the neshamas. So if your neshama is there in Duma's, under Duma's auspices, that means you're not here in this world, it means you're there in that world. The way called Yoyde Duma, those that have gone to Duma, they also cannot go and praise Hashem, because they're not here in this world. So here too, this pasuk is super by kever chasdecha. Can a person go and tell about the chesed of Kadosh Baruch Hu when he's in the kever? Can he talk about emunah ba'avadin? So avadin is a reference to the gina. Be'er shachas techsiv kliyazim nashir l'shoil. Shoil we know means Gehenim. That was the first raya. Le'sitin chasiv chaliroi shachas. So since the same pasuk, this is a pasuk, of course, in Tehillim, and like many other pesukim Tehillim, poetically. The second, the first and the second part of the psukim are basically synonymous. Klisazim nashelish oil, you won't allow my nefesh to go down to Gehenim. Leisitin chasid chavirei shachas, you won't let your chasid see shachas again Gehenim. So shachas is another reference to Gehenim. Ubar sha'oin v'tit hayovein, that's in one pasuk tichsiv. Vayaleini mibar sha'oin mitit hayovein. What's exactly tit hayovein? So Rashi says tit hayovein means tit is a form of cement or clay or lime, things of that nature. Yovin means litboyabai, never to go and sink into it and be swallowed up. So, or sho'ain and tita yovin are two more synonyms for Gehenim. Tzalmoves tachsiv, yoshvi choshech v'tzalmoves. Yoshvi choshech, those that dwell in the choshech of Gehenim and tzalmoves. That's a reference to Gehenim. Guess Choshech itself is not, because then it should say that Choshech is also one of the seven names. Unless, because Choshech, of course, refers generically to darkness, we don't want to say that Choshech is only Gehenim. Every night it's Choshech. It doesn't mean that it's Gehenim. Anyway, the bottom line is, some of us is Gehenim. And finally, number seven was Eretz Atachtis. For that, I don't have a pasuk, but rather Gemara he, that Gemara who, that happens to be a big Kabbalah. Frank Dimara, you've listed seven Vesuleka, Bo'ika, Gehenim. Gehenim itself you didn't mention as being one of the seven. So then there are eight names of Gehenim. One of them is Gehenim itself. It says Dimara, Gei She'amuka, She'hakol Yodid Lo Al Iske Hinam, or Chinam. The Gehinam is really not the name of Gehenim, it's really just descriptive. It's like an adjective as opposed to a noun. And what it's saying is, Gehenim is a gay. Gay means a deep, like a deep pit, like a emek. Shamuka, which is deep. Shehakul yoyidla, the reason why people unfortunately fall into Gehenim is al iskehinam. Now what means iskehinam? Rashi says iskehinam means aroyois. So Rashi is about 12 lines before the end of the Rashi's. Now what does iskehinam have to do with aroyois? So you notice that there's an asterisk of the Rebbe Akiva here. That's the Gilyon HaShas, which is right next to the Rashi. And Rebbe Akiva Eiger says in the second Shtickle that it shouldn't say Hinam, it should say Chinam. The reason why the Gemara uses the expression Hinam, because we are taking the last three letters of Gehenim. Gehenim, the last three letters are Hei Nun Mem, so that's the Gemara, Hinam. However, the real word should be Chinam, because as we know, Aleph Hei Ches Ayin are Mischalev, so Hei and Ches often are interchangeable. So what does it have to do with Aroyas? So Kivega brings another Gemara Masechtas Yuma, that Yidden complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Midbar, and they said, Zacharnu es hadaga asher noichal b'mitzrayim chinam. Now what does chinam mean? Says the Marsha, that's a reference to Aroyas. Now how do I know that the word chinam has to do with Aroyas? Says the Marsha. Because normally, when a person gets married, he has to pay money. He has to go and write and give a ksuba. And the ksuba, he promises to go and support his wife. That's what used to be until modern generations, that the husband worked, and the wife was the akeris habayis, and she made sure that everything ran well in the household. That thing's a little bit topsy-turvy nowadays, where sometimes it's the women that are supporting the men. But at least, according to the ksuba, the husband has the requirement to go and give she'er ksus v'ayna. So he has the monetary requirements on him. Even lehavdil chas v'shalom, if a person wants to live with a professional zayna, he also has to pay a wage. What is the wage he has to pay? He has to give an esnan. That's in this week's parasha, I think. that you cannot go and take an esnan zayin. It's in this week's Seder. So esnan zayin, esnan is the payment that one gives to a zayin. So each time, it was giving money. What they're saying now in the Midbar is, we remember back in the Midbar, we were able to live with aroyos chinam. We didn't have to go and write out a ksuba. We didn't even have to go and pay the esnan to the zayinah. Unfortunately, things were very hefkedik. And that's why, I'm sorry, my apologies. Thank you for the correction. What the Yidden are saying in the Midbar is to Moshe Rabbeinu, Zecharnu es adoga asher noichom b'mitzrayim chinam, we remember, quote unquote, the good old days in Mitzrayim, that we were able to be oseik nebuch in aroyis chinam, and that's what it's saying, Gehenim is made for people like that, to the nebuch are oseik be aroyis chinam. That's the pshat in the hinam, chinam, with Rashi, the aroyis, the Gilyon HaShas, the Rekiv Eig, and the Marsha. Anyway, continuing on. I have another name for Ganem. What's the name? Tofte. Dichsik. Ki oruch me esmoil tofte. Tofte is already ready for you from yesterday. In other words, we don't have to go and find a new location. The Ganem is there and the fire is already. And well, who should call him? Mispata the Yitzra Yipol Sham. With that, Pasuk is telling us not that the name of Gehenim is Tofte, but rather, again, it's being descriptive, and it's saying that if Chas v'Shalom, a person is Mispata v'Yitzray, the word Mispata is from the Lashon of Pitoy, right? You have Oynesu Pitoy, Mafata. Mafata means to be seduced. So here too, a person who allows his Yitzhara to go and seduce him, or he seduces his Yitzhara, Nebuch Yipol Sham, he's going to find his ultimate resting place there in Gehenna. So the seven are the actual names, and the other two, Gehenna and Tofte, are just descriptive names as opposed to Shema Etzem. They are rather just adjectives. Okay, now that we spoke so much about Gehenna, let's talk a little bit about Gan Eden. After all of us are hoping not to have to visit Gehenna, but go straight to Gan Eden. So said the Imar Gan Eden, Omrish Lokish, Im Beretz Yisrael Hu, Beit She'an Pischoi, V'im Be'arvia, Beit Goram Pischoi, then Ben Anaharisu, Dumaskinin Pischoi. What does all of this mean? So Rashi says about Beit She'an Pischoi, Beit She'an had delicious, delicious peiros. Rashi's peiros and misukin, the kol Eretz Yisrael. I'm assuming that Beit She'an, even though today there's also a place called Beit She'an Eretz Yisrael, but I don't know whether historically that's the right place, but Beit She'an was probably close to the Kinneret, where they had the Peres Genoiser, that we know from other Gemaras, the Peres Genoiser were very, very sweet and very nourishing. Anyway, so what does it have to do with Gan Eden? So Rashi doesn't say it expressly, but apparently what Rashi is hinting at is that, says Reish Lakish, I don't know where the Pesach Gan Eden is, but presumably the Gan Eden had beautiful, beautiful Peres. As it says in the Pasuk in Bereishis, that you have Kol Eitz Nechmad Lamara, etc., etc. You had all different wonderful Peiros in Gan Eden. And since in Beit She'an we have all these wonderful Peiros, so we'll make as our Peiros the Gzeir Shavah, that just like Beit She'an is one of as these beautiful Peiros, and presumably that's where Gan Eden is, where you have the beautiful Peiros. It says in the Pasuk in Bereishis, Vayita Hashem Alekim Gan be'eden mikedem, v'yatzmach Hashem alekim in adama kol eit nechmad lemare v'toyv lemachol. That's in Vayita Hashem alekim v'gan eiden. So since Gan Eden is full of eit nechmad lemare v'toyv lemachol, that's says the Marsha, that's the pshat in this Gemara when Reish Lakish says, I'm not sure where the Pesach Gan Eden is, but it's likely in Beit She'an because that's where the peiros are delicious, so that's presumably where Gan Eden is. And if it's not in Eretz Yisrael, but rather if Gan Eden is in Arabia, then Beit Garam Pischoi, presumably Beit Garam had delicious peiros. Then Beit Anaharisu, and if it's between the big rivers, probably is a reference to the four big rivers which are enumerated in Bereishis, right, the Euphrates, etc. Dumaskin and Pischoi. Then go to Dumaskin, and that's where you have the delicious fruit. In Bavel, where would this be? In Bavel, Abay Mishtabeach, the Peiri de Mavra Yemina, that those peiros were really delicious. Rav Mishtabeach v'peiri de harpanya. So presumably what Abai and Rav are saying is that if the entrance way to Gan Eden is in Bavel, it would either be in Eber Yemina or Harpanya. Okay, so with this we finished all of this beautiful Agadata, and we go back to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah it said that when you have the Pase Biro'is, you have to make sure that there's enough room for either six or eight oxen to go through at the same time, in different directions. One team of three going in, one team of three going out, according to a mayor. One team of four going in, one team of four going out, according to a Yehuda. But then the Mishnah said, Kishurais v'loi mutareis. Kishurais means that the three oxen in each team, or the four oxen in each team, were tied together, and v'loi mutareis, they were not untied. So when we learned the Mishnah already yesterday, we pointed out in the Rashi asked, why do you have to repeat v'loi mutareis? If they're tied, of course they're not untied. Isn't that just duplicative, repetitive, and redundant? Everything are pshita. Kim the tunnel the kshurisa, but once you tell me that they're tied, I mean, you deal with mutaris. Obviously, they're not untied. But they're not the same kshuris ki en kshurais. Av mamish loy kamash malam loy mutaris. In other words, yes, it's good enough to go and say that something is tied, but how fast, how tightly is it tied? For all those of you that wear shoes with laces, and even if you don't wear now, I'm sure in yesteryear, at some time in your lifetime, you had shoes with laces. You very well know that sometimes if you tied your laces very tightly, it was so tight that sometimes it even left a minor scar, temporary scar, on your foot. And sometimes it was painful. On the other hand, if you tied it very loosely, then sometimes the shoe would fall off because it was just so loose. So you have to do something in the middle. Anyway, so what the Gemara is telling us about this kshurais is, and I would think that when it says kshurais, it means, yeah, it was tied, but it wasn't tied so fast, so tightly. It was, you know, kind of loose tying. No, this was, we're talking about really tied, well, one ox with the other. And as you remember, the Rashi said in the Mishnah, the importance of all of that is to tell us a chumra. The chumra to tell us that the maximum amount of space is like six or eight oxen or walking at the same time and tied together fairly tightly as opposed to loosely. Because if they're tied together loosely, then you have a little bit more space between your two dyumdin, and this is a chumra that you have less space. Ach nechnas is v'yachas yoytis, and Mishnah continued on saying, one goes in, one goes out. What does that mean? You have three or four animals tied together in one team. How can one animal enter on its own or leave on its own? Says Yimartana in the Brice, it says, Vitaka don't mean the individual animal, but a Ravka Nechmes for Ravka Yoitis. The whole team, the whole group of three or four animals is entering and leaving at the same time. In other words, one group in and one group out. Okay, now we already said in the Mishnah the Cheshbon is, but now the Gemara and the Braisa tells us how much space is there between one Diyoimet and the other. Remember, the Pasi Birois, we have a Be'er in the middle, we have these four corner posts from all four corners, each one of them has, it's called a Diyomet, which means that it's a double Omet, like an L-shaped, where one Am in one direction, one Am in the other direction, and we want to know how much space is there between the Diyoimet, for instance, the northeast Diyoimet, and the northwest Diyoimet, or the southeast and the southwest. How large is there an opening between the two Diyoimet? So all we know from our Mishnah is that according to Reb Meir, it was the width of six oxen, and Reb Yehuda says the width of eight oxen. So it also says in the Mishnah that the minimum share, until now we're talking about the maximum, the minimum share is that it has to be enough room for para roisha veruba bifnim, that a para could go into the enclosed area of the four passing berois and be able to go and drink from inside that area. And remember, Rashi said yesterday, the purpose of saying that in the Mishnah is to tell us it's got to be at least that much room, because if it's smaller than that, we're afraid that the balabas, the owner of the behemah, is going to go and carry out the bucket of water outside of these four mechitzalach, of these four diyamdin, and therefore he'll be moitzim reshus reshus on Shabbos. So therefore it has to be a minimum rosh v'ruva. Tan Rabban, all of these things are very nice descriptions of the animals, but for most of us city slickers, we don't really have a feel for how big or how small these animals are, and therefore how big and how small is the opening into the Pasei B'Rois. It's talking about Kama Rosh Baruba Shalpara. What's the minimum Rosh Baruba? Shtei Amos. 2 amos long from, I guess, from head towards the tail. The minimum of Rosh Baruba is 2 amos. The Kama Oivi Shalpara. How thick is the part that we're talking about? 6. 3 going in, 3 going out at the same time, or 4 going in, 4 going out at the same time. What's the Oivi Shalpara? Amo Shnei Shlishi Amo. Each one of the parois is 1 2/3 amos wide. So if you look at the head or you look at the body, it's 1 2/3 amos wide. Okay. According to the Meir, Shehen Ke'eser, Dibre Meir. Now how do you get the Cheshvan of Eser? This is very, very simple arithmetic. If you take 1 2/3 and multiply it by 6, 6 times 1, everybody agrees is 6, right? Everybody agrees 6 times 1 is 6. By the way, 1 times 6 is also 6. Anyway, 6 times 1 is 6. Now, 6 times 2/3, 2 over the 3. If you multiply 6 times 2, you get to 12, right? 6 times 2 is 12. Good. So now 12/3, 3 into 12 is 4. So we add 6 plus 4, we get to roughly 10. Why do I say roughly 10? Because that's what the Gemara says. Shein ki eser. It doesn't say it's eser. It's ki eser, the Gemara. The Gemara is going to ask in another moment, what do you mean ki eser? If you go and do the arithmetic, 6 times 1 2/3 is 10, not ki eser. The Gemara is going to ask him. Rabbi Yehuda oimer kishloish esrei ama uka arba esrei ama. It's ki, it's like 13 or like 14. Now the Cheshvan according to Rabbi Yehuda is again just as simple as Reb Meir, or almost as simple. Instead of multiplying 1 2/3 by 6, we're going to multiply 1 2/3 by 8. 8 times 1 is 8, right? Everybody agrees? 8, good. Now 8 times 2/3, 8 times 2 is 16. So it's 16/3. 3 into 16 gets us 3 into 15 would be 5. 3 into 16 gets us to 5 1/3. If we add that to 8, 8 plus 5 1/3, is 13 1/3. But the Gemara doesn't say 13 1/3. Rather, it says, Yehuda says, it's like 13, it's like 14. And the Gemara asks the obvious question. First under Meir, ki eser? Ha eser avyan. We did the arithmetic, all of us together, and even though I couldn't hear you all screaming at once, but everybody agrees it's 10. Why does it say ki eser? It should say eser. And the Gemara, you're right. Mishum de boi l'misi sefer, kishloish esrei. Since Rabbi Yehuda says kishloish esrei, so Rabbi Meir also says ki eser. But really it should be eser. So now let's go to Rabbi Yehuda. Freit Gemara, kishloish esrei, tvei avyan. It's not 13, it's 13 1/3. So it's not almost like ken, virtual 13. It's not 13, it's 13 1/3. Everything. The reason why it says kishloish esrei is mishum deboi lemisti ki arba esrei. It says kishloish esrei because it has to say ki arba esrei. Frank Timara, ki arba esrei haloyavia. Ki arba esrei is also not appropriate because it's not 14. It's 13 1/3. So why does it say kishloish esrei? Because it says ki arba esrei. Why does it say ki arba esrei? It's not ki arba esrei. Amar Papa, you say there's a shloish esrei and magi is le arba esrei. What the Yehuda is telling us is that it's somewhere in between 13 and 14. He's not going into enumerating and delineating the fractions. So he says between 13 and 14 and leaves it to your own mathematical calculations. So this is all a braisa which we just brought. Now we have Rav Papa that seems to be just repeating the braisa. Om Rav Papa. Bebor shmoine de kol yam lepligid lebein en pshutim. Bebor shtey mesrei de kol yam lepligid lebein en pshutim. So what is all of this about? So if you go back to the Mishnah again on Yud Zayin Amud Beis when we started our brand new perek, the Mishnah began that you make pasen lebirois arba'a diyumdin, the 4 corner posts near in kishmoyne divrei Reb Yehuda. Reb Meir says not 4 diyumdin. You have shmoyna. What shmoyna? Arba'a diyumdin, the 4 corner ones, barbo pshutim, and 4 regular amudim in the middle of each one of the 4 walls. So therefore you had 8 amudim altogether, the 4 double L-shaped ones in the 4 corners, and the 4 in the middle. Aha! So Zokti Gemara, it sounds like from our Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda only requires and only has four diyumdin altogether, and according to Meir, it's diyumdin plus pshutin. Looks like there's a machlokes. So Rapapa tries to limit the machlokes, and he says, "Bar Shemayna, if the dimensions of the bar itself are eight, really it's not bar, it's really be'er." Mar uses the term somewhat loosely. So a bar or be'er is shemayna. Shemayna means eight amos in diameter from one side to the other. Everybody would agree you do not need to add pshutim to the diyumdin. Why not? So Rashi explains very simply, because remember we said that you have to allow for the behema to come within the four diyumdin, within that frame, to be able to drink from the bar. Now the behema may come from any one of the four directions, right? The behemoth is not going to go watch the sign and say, here's entry and don't go on the side and don't go from the other side. He's going to enter any side he wants to. So from every side, a room and a room, around, surrounding the bar, we're going to have two amis to allow for the roisha verubai of the animal. Okay, so if the bar itself had a diameter of 8, and we're leaving room for 2 on each side, so 2 plus 8 comes out to roughly 10. And then 2 on the other side is 12. So we have a space of 12 altogether. However, remember, of that 12, says Rashi, that we have occupied 2 amis, one on the right and one on the left. That is, the amma which is sticking out of the diyumdin on each side. So to take the 12, subtract 2, the one oimed of amma on one side, one oimid of amma on the other side. 12 minus 2 gets us down to 10. And that's the cheshvan of our mayor of 10. So therefore says Rapapa, if you have a bar of shmoyna, everybody agrees you don't need the pshutim. On the other hand, the bar shtei misrei. What happens if the diameter of the bar is very wide, it's 12 amos? Now we have to add 2 amos on each side because of the behema. So 2 plus 2 plus 12 gets us to roughly 16. From the 16, I have to deduct again, or subtract, 2 amis. Those are the 2 amis of the diyumdin. So I'm down to 14. The 14 is more than 10 of Remeir. It's even more than 13 and a third of Reb Yehuda. I'm going to have to do something in the middle to go and narrow the space of the opening. So I bazoi, if everybody agrees in all cases, so what's the machlaikis? Keep pleading mishmoyna ad shtei mesrei. What happens if the bar happens to be more than 8, but less than 12? The Remeir the inam shutim, because according to Remeir, the cheshvan will be that the opening to the bar will be more than 10 amois. So you have to add a pshutim in the middle. The Rabbi Yehuda loy inam shutim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, won't be necessary, because you don't need it until you hit 12, meaning until you hit that the opening will be 14, or at least more than 13 and a third. Now, these cheshbonos that we just went through, you know, it's, okay, we had to go do the math, but it's all pretty straightforward. From Papa Mike Kamashvulan, Tanina, didn't we learn already in our Mishnah that according to Meir, you have 6, and according to Yehuda, you have 8, and therefore, if you multiply by 1 and 2 thirds, you have to have a space of 10, and you have to have a space of 13 and a third. So then I know that if the bar is 8, then it's one way, and if it's 12, it's the other way. So what is Rapapa telling us? What's the chidushim? After the Gemara, Rapapa Braisa Lishmiele. Rapapa didn't have a copy of the Braisa that we had at the top of the Omid that started on the bottom of the Omid, that the width of every animal is 1 2/3 amis. And so therefore Rapapa is telling us, I want you to know, Chevra, that if you have 6 animals together, you need a Pesach of 10. If you have 8 animals together, you need 13 and a third. That's why sometimes you will need pshutim, sometimes you won't need pshutim, depending on how wide the bar actually is in tight. So therefore, since Rapapa didn't have a copy of the Braisa, when he's telling us these cheshbonos, he's telling us parenthetically that the width of the animal is 1 2/3, and the length is 2 amis, and that's how you have the cheshbonos in Rapapa's halacha.
Normally we say 10 amos. Remind me, normally we say 10 amos is a pirtza. So where does Rabbi Yehuda get that you have this kula to go to extend it out? Where is that coming from?
It's a very, very good question, Brother Shai. It goes one step further. normally you write 10 amis is a pirtza. Actually, it's 10 amis plus. Until 10 amis, it's still kosher. It's 10.0001 when you have your pirtza. The only time that we permit a pirtza of 10 is if you have omeid meruba al haporetz, that you have to have that the wall on both sides adds up to, preferably each side, because then you have a question of being mitzvah of the two sides, but normally you are mitzvah of the two sides as long as the two sides are 11. The opening is 10, you're okay, or the opening is 10.1, you're okay, because you have oimen meruba al haporetz. Here, by the pasuk b'rois, as you know, there's no din of oimen meruba al haporetz, because by the pasuk b'rois, you're allowed to have one geoimet of having one am on one side, one am on the other side. So you have two amas altogether of omeid, you have 10.1 amas of porut, no good. 10 amas of the pirtza, that is okay. So that is one of the major kulis that the Chachamim instituted by the Pasei Berois to be able to go and drink from the be'er. So you have enough opportunity for the animals to enter and to leave on Shabbos. You don't have a problem of being mois mishus levishus, etc. So, says Rav Meir, the only heter that they gave was the gavidis din of oimer ruvah leparetz, paretz meruvah leoimet. But 10 is the maximum. Says Rav Yehuda, no, they added yet another knetch that they allowed it to go to 13 1/3. And in fact, if you remember the Gemara earlier when it was talking about the first Mishnah in our Masechta, and it says that if it's Rochav Mei Eser Yema'et, and the Gemara brought a brice of Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda says you don't have to be Mema'et, so the Gemara asks, so what is the shear according to Rabbi Yehuda? And the Gemara said, even by non-Pasei B'Rois, the shear according to Rabbi Yehuda is 13 1/3. If you're wondering which Gemara that was, if you're trying to remember it, why don't you take a look at Daf Yud Omid Aleph. We had it just about a week ago, Yud Omid Aleph, where the Gemara brought in the middle of the wide lines, Brother Shai, sixth wide line, Varachmi Yasser Yamit, you have that? Omid Abaya?
Yes.
Tana, we learned in the Brayis, Varachmi Yasser Yamayit, Rav Yud Oime, Eimit Terech Lamay, Bad Kama, Sarvachi Kama, Rav Yasser Lameyma, Ad Shloish Esri Amal Shlish. Why? Where does he take that from? The Kavachoyman mi Pasim mi Rois. Just like the Pasi Berois, he tied the band, parts of the oimid. But it's 13 1/3. Mavishlai tied the bar, it's about going to be 13 1/3. And then he might ask two pirchas. But you see that this 13 1/3 is well established according to Rabbi Yehuda, at the very least by Pasi Berois. And according to that Mandiyamar, even by a regular Mavui, it's not a maximum of 10, it's a maximum of 13 1/3 according to Rabbi Yehuda.
But this is the same concept of Mechitzas or Halacha Moshe Messina. And I assume this is where he has a different Masorah than the Sefer Meir. Because 13 1/3, where does he get that from?
He gets that from the fact that he has a Masorah that it's 8 animals, 4 and 4, and not 6 animals, 3 and 3.
Right. Okay, but I'm saying, but in general, we said yesterday, whatever, that Mechitzas are Halacha Moshe Messina, so I guess that's part of his Masorah.
There's no question, the Gemara said at the beginning of the Masechta, that there are three things, Shi'urin, Mechitzin, and Chatzitzin. Actually, Chatzitzin and Mechitzin, or Halacha Moshe Messina, that's for sure. But the question is, are all the details included in the Halacha Moshe Messina, or just the major parameters? And the Kodesh Baruch Hu left to the Chacham in every generation to go and fill in the blanks. So it could very well be that the Machloikis are made of Yehuda, is not a Machloikis so much in the Halacha Moshe Messina, but rather after Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us the dinim of the Shesram and Shesiyachid and the sizes and the all these dinim, the Chacham made some of their own gzeiros. So for instance, just reminding ourselves, where does the whole inyan of Erevin come from? Min HaTorah, if you have a Mavui Sosum, which has three walls, that has the status of Rishus HaRavim. You don't need more than three walls. Three machitzas is enough. So you're able to, I'm sorry, I said Rishus HaRavim, meant Rishus HaYachid. Thank you, Barry. Meant Rishus HaYachid. Since Rishus HaYachid, you're able to go and carry. The Chum said, however, people that live across the street will get carried away. And they'll say, if Yanku can carry by this Mavi Sosum and a cul-de-sac, why can't I carry in my street? So you go and tell him, wow, that's a cul-de-sac. Here's not a cul-de-sac. Big deal, bad, da-da-da-da-da. So the Chum said, you know what? We're going to put up a lechi and a koira. Now, lechi or koira, we had a machloikis with Mishim Machitza, Mishim Heker. That Mishim Mechitza doesn't mean that the Lechi Bekoira is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. It means that the Chachamim, they instituted this din of Lechi Bekoira, they instituted either based on the Svara of Hekir, or based on that Pi Akoira Yorid V'Soysen. The Pi Akoira Yorid V'Soysen would be something that would be based on Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Why they instituted Koira could be because of Hekir, because of this. The point is, just like over there, they made certain takanis and certain gezeiros. When it came to Pasi Berois, they lightened up on it. What did they lighten up on? They said you don't have to have machitzes like those of a Chinese wall. As long as you have these pseudo machitzes, these partial machitzes of the Tiyumdin and the Pshutim, as long as it's not more than 10, more than 13, a third, that's okay. So it doesn't necessarily have to mean that there's a machloikis in the shiurim of the machitza lachem l'shinai, but rather machloikis in what the chachamim felt was necessary to make proper gedar. Anyway, Getting back to our gemara. So now we have arich yoser besel chitzis chotzer yishibsha sim. So the gemara boi minei abai miraba herich v'diyumnim kishir pshutin v'remeir mahu. The one asks a very, very simple question. According to the mayor, we just got finished saying, if you have a Pesach, which is more than 10 amois, you better put in pshutin. The two diumdin are not enough. I have another way of doing it. Instead of adding additional pshutin, maybe we should extend the diumdin and make each diumid a little bit wider. Instead of being a 1 amma wide, make it 1.5 ammas wide, 2 ammas wide. And with that, we will narrow the opening. So don't put in the pshutim. Just widen the diumdin. Now this question that we ask according to Meir, we can ask the same question according to Yehuda. And in fact, the Gemara is going to ask this according to Yehuda in another few lines. It's Omalei. So he told him to Nisua. I know the din considered the Farish in the Mishnah. What is this referring to? At the end of the Mishnah on Yud Ches Amir Aleph, it said, if you want, you can go and make the Pasi Berois extend over a huge, huge area. The Gemara said, even 10 kor wide. Make it as much as you want. You can make it 5 miles by 5 miles. But make sure you add bit. Now, it doesn't say Yarbe Pasin. It says Yarbe Bit Pasin. So how do we understand, what does that mean? So Gemara Trisovachi Arbibasin, my love, the Marach Bidyumdin, isn't he coming to tell us be marba in the existing pasin? That these four pasin that until now are only 1 amma wide, if you want to go and make a much larger area, then make the diumdin much wider. Instead of 1 by 1, make it 2 by 2, 5 by 5, 10 by 10, 100 by 100. Make it much wider. And that's what Yarbibasin means. So can't we be poish at your shayla very easily? Every more light, the mapish, the oved pshutim, the yarbe v'pasim means add more pasim, not to go and extend and elongate your existing pasim, but insert and embed in the ground pshutim. That means marbe pasim. V'dimori hochi hayo bavachi yarbe bipasim, achi yarbe pasim mi boile. Bipasim sounds like the existing pasim you extend. Pasin sounds like you put in brand new pasin. Says Martri, Achiarba Pasin, fine. Go change the Lashon HaMishnah, take out the base, and say Achiarba Pasin, Enochanami. And therefore, we cannot be pushed from our Mishnah, because maybe the Mishnah is telling you, add Pshutim, and not extend the Pasin. Ikariyami, there was another version of this discussion. Amalehi told to Nisua, let's look at the Mishnah, about Achiarba Pasin. My love, the Mapish V'Ovid Pshutim. Doesn't Yarbe Pasim mean add more Pshutim, and therefore the Poshet Pshat in the Mishnah is Mashma that you cannot extend the Diyumdin, but you have to be Marbe Bepasim. The Tumalai, the Marbe Diyumdin, the word Bepasim means to extend each one of the four corners. Hakanam Mistabra, and that's from Mistabra, but Tani Ubavachi Yarbe Bepasim. Doesn't say Bavachi Yarbe Pasim, Bepasim, Shema Mino, L'choira have a good raya that you can be Marbe Bediyumdin, and that's sufficient, you don't have to be. So therefore, kum techois, the two lishoynis are not the same. According to the first lashon, the Gemara leaves that the pshat in the Mishnah could be yachiyar v'pasin, put in new pasin, and therefore you have no raya that you can go and extend the diumdin. According to the second lashon, no. You can elongate and extend the pasim without having to insert new pshut. What do you do according to Rabbi Yehuda? Same type of question. Pshutim of it, do you put in the pshutim? Or b'diyumnim marach, or shibin marach b'diyumnim? Amalei t'visua. Let's look at the Mishnah. What is in the Mishnah? Kamehen mikuravim k'dei roishe v'ruba shel parach. What is the smallest share? K'dei roishe v'ruba, that which we said before, is 2 amas. V'kam meruchakim afilikorva, afilikorayim. Rabbi Yehuda oyer beis asayim mutter. Yosh beis asayim aser. Up to beis asayim and not more. Don't you agree that if you're talking about a corral, or you're talking about a backyard, or a front yard, and this and that, that each time you can go make it as much as you want, because it is mulchan mzuman ledira. You can go and use it for dira, so your dira could be as big as you produce, as you build it. Said Rabbi Yehuda, no. Don't confuse me with the case of the chotzer and the muktzah and the deer, the soyar, because over there you're talking about that you have real mechitzois. Here you only have pasin. So when you have real mechitzois, you can make it chameshes kurin, you can make it asara kurin. But remember, here we're talking about these flimsy four-cornered pasin. Four-cornered, each one of them is like an L-shaped. And, okay, it only has to be oivion mashehu. 10 tvachim tall, 1 amma in each direction, but that's it. You don't have to have a Chinese wall. And therefore, how can you compare one case to the other, says Rabbi Yehuda to the Chacham? Over there by the Muktzah, by the Rachba, and by the Chatzar, of course you have 10 kurim. But here you have these little pasim luch. How can you go talking about 10 kurim? Fakti Marvin Isa, if you tell me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that instead of pshutim, you can go and extend your pasim, then zumachitim zumachitim v'boilei. Don't say that here in the case of pasim b'rois, it's just pasim. What happens if you want to make the area as big as, let's take Rabbi Yehuda, beis asayim. So instead of adding pshutim, you can go, if you hold it, you can extend the yumdin, so it's not just going to be a pas. Then the pas is going to be very, very, very wide. It might be 20 amas wide, 30 amas wide, 50 amas wide. Those are mechitzes. Those are not pasim. Since the Mishnah, the Braisa doesn't use that expression, it says zu mechitzah ve'lo pasim, it sounds like that in fact you cannot extend the diyumdin. You have to add pshutim. Evdi mo nishkarai, hachi kama, zu toiras mechitzah le'a, upar tseiseh, upir tseiseh bi'eser, ve'lo toiras pasim le'en, upir tseisehin bishloish esrei. Rabbi Yehuda could be holds that you could extend the pasim indefinitely, add another 20, 30, 50 amas for a base asayim. Yo. However, what Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the Braisa is, don't compare the case of your rachba and your chotzer, where you're up to 5 or 10 koir, to the case of the pasim birois, because over there the chachamim are dealing with the situation of a teiras machitza. You have machitzas arum and arum. Only question is, how much area is enclosed with those machitzas? But over here, the whole pasim birois, the word pase gives away the fact that it's talking about a very kuladik situation that you put up pasim. So the whole Torah is a pasim Torah, not a machitzas Torah. So even though, yes, you could take the pasim and extend and extend and extend, but a mice, it starts over the Torah's pasim, and that's why he's saying don't compare apples and oranges. Okay, nu shayla, boi v'nei abayi mei rabba, teva mislakit asura mitoich arba, nidu mishum diyoymed, eina nidu mishum diyoymed. Telem Meslakit Asura Bitoich Arba is referring to when you have land which is not level. Take for instance, if you go to communities where they have private houses, so some people have their house on flat land, as flat as the street, while other people, you want to get into the house, you have to go up a bit of a mound, a bit of an elevation. And most of the time, of course, they have steps or a ramp, or whatever, to be able to get up. Fine. The question is, how much of an elevation is that compared to the street down below? So if the mound is mislakat asara, mitoich arba. And if you have an art scroll chumish, art scroll Gemara, they have a picture, but it's a very, very, conceptually it's very simple, that you have arba amis, the elevation, you're walking four amos to get to an elevated area of 10 tvachim. You're here on level land, on the street, you're going up now the steps, and after you have walked four amos, were you to go and sink a pole down into the ground, you'd find that you are now elevated higher 10 tvachim over the street where you were originally. That's what the Gemara means when it says this tel mislakit asur mitoich arba. Now, such a tel mislakit can be used for purposes of an eruv, and in fact, in many modern day eruvim, they do use that as a wall. That if you have a tel mislakit asur mitoich arba, that means the slant is slanty enough that this elevation is not considered to be level land; it's considered to be a wall. It's considered to be a wall. You can be mitzaref it with other walls and tzuras of Pesachs for purpose of an eruv. The question is, can you use that also for a pas? If you have that type of mound, which is to get to the top of a mound, you walk four amis, and the mound is 10 tvachim elevated from the ground, and assuming that the mound is a considerable mound, that it's am in each direction, could you go and use that as a pas in the pasay berois? What you've asked now is the choyim machloikis hatanoim. We have a brayse. Reb Shimon Elozar Omer hoyse sham even mirubas royim keilu ticholiv yesh ba ama lekan the ama lekan. Neither mishum diyomit. Fim lav ena neither mishum diyomit. You have over here an even mirubas. That means a very thick piece of stone, which is mirubas means it's square. Here it means more like it's a cube. A cube of stone, which if you measure on all sides, is ama al ama al ama. However, it doesn't look like a dioimit, because it's not L-shaped, it's a cube. Right? You filled up the cube, so that now, you filled up the L. It's like taking two L's and putting them together perpendicular to each other, and now you've made a full, like a square circle, like a square. So now, that square, this square, or this cube, even, you want to know, can you use it for a pas or not? So said Reb Shimon Elozar, Royin kol she'ilu techolik, if you were to go and scratch out or etch out, the chisel out the middle of this stone, and you'd be left with an L-shaped diomid, that's fine. You don't actually have to go and chisel it out. If you have enough stone, so when you would chisel it out, you have an amma on one side and amma on the other side, that's fine. So it's got to be at least a square amma, so that after the chiseling, you're left with a right triangle, or a at least a right angle, an L-shaped diomid amma alam. He goes one step further. What happens if it's not a square even, but it's a round stone? Royin kol she'ilu techokek v'techolek v'yesh ba'am lakam v'am lakam v'am v'shim d'yoymet v'am v'am v'shim d'yoymet. Here, according to Reb Shimon ben Broika, you have to do two royins. It's not enough royin that you go and chisel out the middle and see that you have an amma al amma, because then you'd have a round amma al amma. So you have to go and royin, if you chisel out the extra part of this circular stone, if you go and take out the outside of the stone to make it and chisel it into a square stone, and then after the square stone you have to go and chisel out the middle to go make it into L-shaped. See, there are two actions that are required by the agula as opposed to by the mirubas. So if you can do that and it's amalama, it's good. Mike, basically, what's machlekes? Mar sober chad royin amrinan trei royin leamrinan. The first mandiyam Reb Shimon Elozar says you only employ one royin. You look upon this stone as if you chiseled out the middle, and you have an L. Omar sober trei royin anam amrinan says the second mandiyam. That's Reb Shmuel. The noish bechem embroika, that you can go and say two chisels, one chiseling out in the middle and one chiseling out from the outside, so that you have altogether a now. This type of L-shaped stone. So what's the answer? So therefore the answer is, says Rashi, the tail hamislaket is just like the Evan Agula, because this is also a round mound that you are going up, and you want to know whether you can use that for a pass. So, according to the first man, the Yom that you only do one Rayin, no good, because the mound is circular in nature. According to the second man, the Yom that says that you can do two Rayins, so then it would be good for a pass for a Diyonet. Boimere Abayimere Rabba, Chitza Sakonim, Kona Kona, Pachis Mishloisha, Nidim Mishim Diyomer Oilav. When we talk about having those Diyomdin, that it has to stick out one Amma, what happens if you didn't have one solid piece of wood or plastic or metal sticking out, but instead you had konin, you had shtekelach, reeds, where between one reed and the other you had less than three tvachim. So you put four or five of these reeds together, you'd be able to have a full amma. He asks, is that good enough? Nidim shem v'yoyim et olav. Amalei, so that's a beferish price. We've quoted this price already before. Hayishem ilon oigeder echit sakonim. Nidim shem v'yoyim et. You don't have to go and build a brand new diyamid. You have an existing tree, you have an existing geder, a fence, chitzakonim, it's a diyamid. Now what means chitzakonim? My love, chitzakonim means kona, kona, pachas, mishloish. In other words, the word chitzakonim is like mechitzakonim, you have a mechitza made out of konim, and between one kona and the other, pachas, mishloish. So you have a raya, the fetish, that this is permissible. That you will loy gudris of the konim. We need a geder made out of konim. So not that there are spaces in between the konim, but rather you have 5, 10, 20 konim all piled one next to each other, and you probably tape them or put a string around them or whatever to keep them all as a geder in place. And that's what we mean mechitzas konim. But your shaila of using loved concept of a konim here and a konim there and a konim there and adding them all together to an amma, that I can't be poishit. We're talking about a geder of konim. For tomorrow, Ihochi ayin ilon. So what's the difference between the getter of konim and an ilon? Oh, that's both the same thing. Ve'elamai zokimara kona kona pachim mishloisha ayin a getter. You know, memanav shach. What does the word chitzas konim mean? If it means little shtekelach one next to each other, that's a getter. If you're going to go and tell me that you bunch them all together, so that's like an ilon. So what do you even need this chitzas konim? Elamai yislach lemeim. What are you going to tell me? Trei gavni getter. Achanami trei gavni ilon. That when it says in this price, Yisham Ilan Agedra Chitzas Akonim, the Chitzas Akonim in itself is either, if you're talking about a Gudrisa Dekoni, then it's a form of Geder. So it's not your metal picket fence, or it's not a concrete wall or fence. So it's a fence made out of Konim. It's also a fence. It's two types of fences. Or if you're telling me that these aren't a hedge of reeds growing one next to each other very beautifully, like you have a hedge of other trees growing together, that's like an ilan. So take out the ilan. Ikani Amri, the other way around, that when it says chitzas konim, that means gudrisa dekoni. And that was the shayla, gudrisa dekoni kami boile. The shayla that he asked him, gudrisa dekoni mai, what happens if I have a hedge of konim that all together add up to one amma? Now, what's the shayla? If you have a gudrisa dekoni, which is one amma long, so what's the problem? So Rashi says that a hedge, by definition, from the floor up, and let's assume here, from the floor up to 10 tefachim from the ground, all of the reeds were bunched together very, very nicely. You couldn't even see between the hedge. However, as the hedge got higher than 10 tefachim, then the reeds started getting a little bit dispersed, and in fact there were spaces, holes, in between one and the other. And therefore the Gemara Shaila is that type of Gedrisa Dekoni also good for purposes of a Diyoimit? So the Gemara Gedrisa Dekoni might. I'm a late to be so he learned. Hayisham Gedra, he learned. Chitza Dekonim, need a Mishim Diyoimit. When it says Chitza Dekonim, my love, Gedrisa Dekoni, aren't we talking about this type of hedge of Konim, of these reeds? And that's what it says, that it's good before a Diyoimit. Tomorrow light. Kona, Kona, Pochel Mishloisha. Maybe the Chitza Dekonim is not talking about a hedge, but it's talking about individual konim, one next to each other, with a small space in between, where you add it all together with the lovewood, and you get up to an amma. So that's the same thing as a geder. Just like an ilan grows naturally, the hedge also grows. So what's the difference? So bottom line is, we have no befeir sharaya from this price in one way or the other, whether or not a chitzas konim, which are made out of konim, space, konim, space, konim, space, all adding up to, with the principle of lovud, adding up to an amma. The Gemara leaves that as an avoidly ifshita. We haven't been poshut that shaila whether it's kosher or not. So any time that you happen to find yourself in the middle of a wilderness and there's a be'er there and you want to go and make pasi berois for Shabbos, before Shabbos, make sure that you have proper one amma pasim as opposed to these konim, because the Gemara is not poshut whether that would be sufficient or not. We'll stop over here. Rabbi Sai, as suggested already, as proposed by our good friend Barry, tomorrow night, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help, we hope at 9:30, Shabbos ends roughly 8:45, Rabbeinu Tamzman, gives everybody a chance to get home, to make Havdalah, to go and look at your important email messages, to answer phone calls for your children, etc., etc. Mietzshem, 9:30, we hope to learn tomorrow's blot of Daf Chav, and then Mietzshem, Sunday morning, 8:05, Daf Chav Aleph, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. Everybody should have a beautiful, lovely Shabbos. Any questions?
Yes, according to Rabbi Yehuda,
yes,
said that you have Jilman, they have to be solid walls. So you're talking about, if he said even up to Beis Hasayim, I believe, right? So you're going to have these huge walls then. It's so impractical. But that's what he required. You can't use the posts in between.
One second. According to our Mishnah, everybody agrees you can use the four posts.
Right.
Our Bryce, the Gemara said at the top of the Omid, what happens if you have space which is more than 10 or more than 13 and a third? Then you add pshutim. Then the Gemara asked the Shaila, what about instead of adding pshutim, elongating and extending every one of the pasim, the posts, so that they should be longer and longer, and therefore cut down on your 10 or your 13 and a third? And the Gemara brought Rais the Khan of the Khan, but the Gemara was not poished the Shaila, except for according to Meir, according to the second Lashon, but otherwise the Gemara left it out as a question whether or not you can extend the Pasim. So you don't, according to everybody, you certainly don't have to extend the Pasim. Everybody agrees you can put in Pshutim. The question is, can you also reduce the hole by extending? The Gemara tried to bring a Raya from the Bryce, and the Gemara said that if in fact you can extend, why does Rabbi Yehuda say the expression Zum Mechitzah Zum Pasim, it should be Zum Mechitzah Zum Mechitzah? And the Gemara said that this is Nishkashtar Karaya, because he meant to say here the Iker is Toidus Mechitzah, here the Iker is Toidus Pasim, but you could extend it. Anyway, the Maisa, the Gemara doesn't have a concrete Raya one way or the other. So Pshutim, that certainly, that's a double Poshut, that certainly works. It's Pshutim. However, if you can go and extend it, that remains a Shaila, the Gemara was not Poshut. So getting back to your question, if you want to make it as big as a base of Sayim according to Yehuda, the easy way to do it is keep on adding a whole bunch of Pshutim every 13 and a third amps.
It just seemed from the Shakla Vitaria there that Yehuda seemed that was the only way, but you're right. I'm sorry.
No problem.
That, but
you could certainly do Pshutim. The question was, you could also do Diyandim. Okay? So everybody should have a wonderful, beautiful Shabbos, and hopefully it will all be available tomorrow night, Mitzvah 9:30, for Daf Chav. Zay gesund, be well, Hatzlacha.